As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
How about we can just watch basketball?
I like that idea.
Wow.
It shouldn't take this long.
Welcome to the Weekend Update with Dave DeFore and Keith Parrish.
Every Monday on the Athletic NBA Show.
It did the same thing to me that it's intended to do to the world.
Ding, ding!
I have access to information, wow, that the public doesn't.
And welcome to the Daily Ding on the Athletic NBA Show. I'm Dave DeFore here with Keith Parrish for your weekend update. Coming up, Nikola Jokic hits another game winner. The Thunder roll over the Nets. And LeBron James joins Kareem in rarefied air. Before we start, don't forget you can get this podcast without ads by subscribing at theathletic.com/NBA Show. Keith, second night of a back-to-back for the Philadelphia 76ers. Joel Embiid hit a game winner Saturday night against the Utah Jazz. How would they follow it up against the Lakers? Well, it took every damn thing that Joel Embiid had. 35 points in this game to lead the Sixers to another one-point victory. Back-to-back one-point victories, Keith. Those guys look tired.
Yeah, it was a great game, honestly. You had the historic moment of LeBron James passing 38,000 points in his career. You had an excellent game from LeBron. I mean, he came out hot to start. You know, it's like he wanted to get out of the way. He wanted to go ahead and just, all right, worry about that early. It's done. Now I'm going to play basketball. Like, he was great. You had a very solid Westbrook game until a unfortunate final possession, but like, you get Harden. I mean, the Sixers are interesting. Like, up and down their roster, they're searching. Like, they're winning. They're doing fine right now, but you can tell, like, they're trying to mix things up. They experimented with a new starting lineup. They moved Maxey into, like, a sixth man role. And still, like, if you watch the Sixers games, I don't think they know who they're going to close with every single night. I think it's some of it's hot hand. Someone's like, hey, George Niang's knocking down shots. He's going to close. So they're still searching, but like you said, they now have pulled out 2 1-point wins on the road on consecutive days. So it's good to win while you're still learning about yourself.
Yeah, and getting to the game, you mentioned LeBron passing that milestone, 38,000 points. He's now the second player in NBA history to reach that mark. Of course, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was the first. He scored his 38,000th point on a 20-foot jumper with about 5:43 left in the first quarter. Keith, he only needs 364 more points after tonight's game where he had 35 points. By the way, this guy is still averaging 30 points a game at 38 years old. Quite a bit different than the old man Kareem that I grew up watching. You know, if he was doing what LeBron's doing, I'm not sure if he would have ever retired given the quality of competition back then. So it's amazing that LeBron still looks like, I mean, he's not in his peak and we know that, but he certainly has not fallen off all that much, or he just knows how to game the system so well that it doesn't matter. But only 364 more points to break the all-time scoring record, Keith.
Yeah, I mean, you say he's not at his peak, but like, this'll do. You know, yeah, like this'll do until the peak gets here, I guess. It's like, he's so good, and he's so fantastic. And it's weird where I know Lakers fans are stuck in a weird spot, and they keep losing these close games. And like, they've been competitive after their slow start to the season, and they're just right outside like that play-in chase. And it's interesting in the Western Conference where there's six teams with a winning record. And so, like, they still have a chance to make it, but they keep dropping these games they have a chance of winning. And when you, I want to say they squander these LeBron games, because I think he's going to keep giving you more of them. But, like, you know, you see him pass into Winyon Gabriel in the final minute, and, like, Winyon Gabriel drops the ball out of bounds. I mean, it was a tough play, but still, like, help LeBron out. I mean, Troy Brown Jr. makes a big shot, but you're still like, this is LeBron James, you know, one of the top two to three greatest players of all time. And it's like, he's passing in the final moments of these games to Winyon Gabriel and Troy Brown Jr. And maybe those guys will develop greatly over the next decade and become some legendary or something. But, like, it's like, all right, he needs a little bit more and maybe also a little bit less. Russell Westbrook?
Well, let's get to that. Last couple of possessions, okay? So Joel Embiid has the ball. The Sixers up one. He gets the switch. He has Russell Westbrook guarding him. This is good Russ. Russ is strong. He stays up, gets his chest into Joel Embiid, keeps him out of the paint, forces Joel Embiid into a fadeaway from around the free throw line. Great Russ. He gets the rebound. Great Russ. 14 seconds left. Pushes the ball down, Keith, on the offensive end, and there's nothing happening. Now, this is where, you know, they have two timeouts left. I'm thinking, okay, time for Darvin Ham to call a timeout, maybe draw up a play. Everybody else has different ideas, including Russell Westbrook, Keith, who dribbles to nowhere. Great defense by Joel Embiid. Russell Westbrook finally kind of turns the corner, but the help rotates over. I believe he was trying to make a pass when he turned the ball over. The pass gets blocked at the rim. It hits the rim. It was embarrassing.
Well, I believe it was, I think actually George Niang actually made a defensive stop, which is really funny for this team that has guys like D'Anthony Melton and Matisse Thybul. And it's like, oh, they're going, or PJ Tucker. It's like, oh, they're going offense with Niang. But Niang's in there hanging down there on the block and I believe deflects the pass before it hits the rim. But like, it was the same, it was a thing like you said, nothing happened. Like, I understand not calling a timeout, and of course, I'm an armchair podcaster sitting at home, and Darvin Ham knows what he's doing. But, like, once you get that initial push, and nothing happens, and you don't get an advantage, and there was even a moment, there was a moment with about 10 seconds left
he lost where, the ball.
Yeah, Embiid hits the ball, and you lose the ball, and no one's been moving for 4 seconds before that. At that point, I'm like, they're going to call timeout, right? They got to set something up because this is going nowhere fast. But unfortunately, maybe they like the matchup. You'd think Westbrook, if he could beat Embiid off the dribble, like he's going to do that most of the time, then he could make a pass. But maybe it was the unexpected help defense of Niang or something else or the lack of movement on the Lakers offense. But I fall back to like the Lakers keep losing these close games. And it's just unfortunate. I mean, I don't mean to take a cheap shot at Westbrook because he was solid this whole
They're
game.
They're not in position to win the game if not for Westbrook
not.
In this game. He had 20 points, 11 assists, only 4 turnovers, which, you know, that's not bad for Russ, and 14 rebounds. Of course, one turnover being the final play
and
of the game.
198th triple-double. So, like, the guy's a Hall of Famer. The guy's great. And it's just it was just an unfortunate final situation where it paints that bullseye where everyone is going to say, hey, why aren't we calling timeout here? Like, what are we doing?
Unsung hero in this game is going to be James Harden, who has been totally under the radar the last few weeks, Keith. He's been playing his freaking guts out. 24 points, 13 assists, only 2 turnovers. Had a steal and a block, 7 rebounds. All around James Harden performance, and no one is talking about him right now, Keith.
Well, it's pretty easy not to turn the ball over when you walk everywhere you go. Just kind of slowly dribble up the court. No, I'm making fun. It is weird how maybe are we tired of it? He's never played that aesthetically of pleasing a brand of basketball for a lot of us. We're like, I don't like the grifting and the foul drawing. He does much less of it now. Maybe there's an argument it's because he's lost a step. And he does play, let's call it patiently and under control. He's not moving, not pushing the pace usually. But he does quarterback this Sixers offense, and he's racking up these massive assist numbers. He's scoring when needed. You know, it's one of the things. They know they have Embiid. They know they have Harden. I guess it's all the other pieces in trying to figure it out to become not just like a pretty good team and to become one of those teams that, you know, can come out of the East.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. you can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more. Keith, the Warriors went to Chicago, and would you believe it, they lost. They are the second worst road team in the league, dropping to 4-17 on the road after losing to Nikola Vucevic and the Chicago Bulls. 132-118, the Bulls beat the Warriors thanks to 43 points from Nikola Vucevic, a career high. Keith, the Warriors need a big man, but Nikola Vucevic was balling.
I can't get over, after the game, Steve Kerr's like, you know, to stop, you know, you got to have a whole team effort to stop Vucevic. And my take was, I'm sorry, did you say Vucevic? You have Draymond Green, Kevon Looney, Andrew, guys, it takes a whole team effort to stop Nikola Vucevic. He's a fine player. He's a pretty good player. He does not fit the category of like, oh, it takes a whole team to stop Joel Embiid. It takes a whole team effort to stop Giannis and Jokic and Nick Vucevic when he's playing the Warriors. I don't know what to make of the Warriors this season. I am befuddled by this road record. I honestly don't get it, Dave. Like, what's going on? They made 21 three-pointers and lost. Do you know how hard that is to do? That's Keith, not a rhetorical question. I looked it up.
Do you know how hard it is to win a basketball game when you commit 23 turnovers and give up 31 points off turnovers? The Bulls only had 10 turnovers in this game. That's the story of the game, Keith. The Warriors continue to not value the basketball, but this is not new. They've been doing this the whole time, but there's a certain point where your windows are smaller, your margin for error is less, the scouting report is caught up. And I'm not saying people have figured out the Warriors. These are the defending champions. But the championship hangover, and I don't know if maybe they were in Chicago. It's a fun city to go out. Maybe that was part of this, Keith, but they suck on the road. The defense doesn't travel. Draymond Green, minus 24 in this game, Keith. 6 turnovers.
Well, it takes a team effort to stop a Nikola Vucevic, Dave. No, you didn't let me finish my stat. Teams coming into this game before Sunday, teams that made at least 21 three-pointers in regulation games won 91% of the time. They were 237-29. Klay hits 8 three-pointers. I feel like the question mark for this season was like, well, I mean, if Klay can get back to where he was, like he had a great finals and all, but like, you know, coming back from injury, getting older, if Klay can give you a good year, they should be, you know, great again. Klay's giving you good play. Just they're losing all the time. And again, I wish I had a better grasp on why. I know we point to the turnovers, but like individually, it's just every game. Like, how do you keep losing these games on the road when you're supposed to be a contender? And on paper, like, you have your pieces. Like, Wiggins played, Draymond played, Klay and Steph are there. Kevon Looney's out there playing, and you're losing to a Bulls team that had lost 3 straight coming into this game, doesn't have DeMar DeRozan, like, is going through their own issues. They get enough out of Zach LaVine, but it wasn't like a transcendent game from Zach LaVine. You just get Nick Vucevic going off. And the fact that the Warriors seem over and over now unable to fix whatever ails them. I mean, they're under 500. Like, how that seems like we're almost at the All-Star break. I don't know if is there a panic button? Should someone press the panic button?
Oh, because I believe the panic button has been hit. When you say it takes a team effort to guard Nikola Vucevic on a team that has Draymond Green, and remember, minus 24 for Draymond Green, plus 5 for Kevon Looney in this game. So clearly, like, I think Steve Kerr is trying to do a little bit of coaching through the media there, Keith.
I don't, maybe so. Maybe he's calling this guy out again, but I'm at a loss how this team, which honestly I fear. I mean, I'm a Grizzlies fan. I'm terrified of the Warriors. Like, I have scars from losing to the Warriors, and I keep thinking when people ask me like, who's the favorite in the Western Conference? I'm like, you know, this team, and also the Warriors. But then they keep losing. So I don't know if I'm wrong. Like, I don't know if I'm just dumb. I refuse to accept the information presented to me that the Warriors are very subpar.
I still think I trust them come playoff time. Break up the Thunder. They've won three in a row. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Josh Giddey lead the Thunder into Brooklyn and a win over the shorthanded Nets. No Ben Simmons, no Kevin Durant. And that made it a little less of a problem for the Thunder as they win 112-102 thanks to 28 points apiece for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Josh Giddey. Josh Giddey was pretty nuts in this game. Had 9 rebounds, 9 assists, kind of doing everything for them. And then when you've got Shai out there, wow, that's a heck of a 1-2 punch, Keith.
Giddey's incredible. I mean, Giddey is playing so well over the past few games. And suddenly, like, the Thunder, they're good. They're something.
They should be buyers.
Yeah, they've why? You know, honestly, Dave, like, I feel like a lot of people, we kind of make that joke. But, like, just seriously, you have all the picks. What if you try to make your team better?
Yeah.
Because they're, Dave, they're a half game behind the Warriors. They're tied with the Suns. They're going up the mountain right now while the other teams seem to be sliding down the mountain. You have Giddey, you have Shai, and you have 2 Jalen Williamses, and it's like they're playing so well now, and like they are tough. And Dort like showed off against the Nets, and it's just like this is such a fun young team. It's such a fun story. What if they got other pieces? What if they were able to pick up, like, you don't have to short circuit your timeline. Get a young guy. Trade for a young guy. Gary Trent's very young. OG Anunoby very young. Like, they can age together with Chet Holmgren and whoever you might get in the draft next year. Although if they don't, watch out. Their pick's not going to be very good.
That's right. No, you mentioned Dort, 22 points, 5 of 7 from 3. Basically just everything working for them. And then for the Nets, man, it was just, hey, they're shorthanded. It's tough. No Ben Simmons really was tough for them defensively. Kyrie Irving had 15 points, was 1 of 7 from 3, 7 of 20 from the field. Just tougher looks for him overall. I mean, you know, he's getting more defensive attention. And you know, it helps to have Seth Curry coming off the bench, dropping 23 points. But it's not the same as having Kevin Durant and Ben Simmons out there.
Right. When you replace Durant and Ben Simmons with Joe Harris and Edmund Sumner, that's a pretty stark difference. I mean, the one guy balling for the Nets is Nick Claxton. He's continued his streak of having 3 or more blocks in, I believe it's 8 straight games now. I mean, he had a huge game, 17, 13, and 4 blocks. But I can't get over this Thunder team. Where, like, even on paper now, it's no longer a surprise. It's like you look at that, you're like, oh, the Nets, oh, Ben Simmons is out today? Well, they're in trouble. Like, I assume the Nets were done.
We said that they were going to win. Yeah, I mean, yeah, they're only 4 games back of the Sacramento Kings for the 4 seed, Keith. I'm just throwing down the gauntlet here. I want to see them get some pieces to round the team out and make a push for it.
Well,
everything
is wide open right now. The Kings win on Sunday. They move a game and a half up on the Mavericks for 4th. Like, the Kings have home court. I mean, they're not very far ahead of the Mavericks, obviously. But, like, beyond that, 6 through 12 through 13 is just clumped. And someone's going to go on a run. Someone's going to twist an ankle and be out. And it's basically whoever is ready to strike and whoever's, you know, ready to go for it. And, like, why not the Thunder? Like, why not the Thunder be ready to win some basketball games and then, you know, get some playoff reps, get Shai some important games again. But, like, right now they're just they're a fun squad that has a lot of good stuff going on. And, like, they're one of those teams that, like, veteran squads never want to play them at any moment, let alone when one of your main guys is out.
Yeah, you said somebody's going on a run. It's probably going to be the Warriors. Let's just be honest. Nikola Jokic hit a go-ahead 3 with 1.2 seconds left to pick up his 12th triple-double of the season and give the Nuggets a win over the scrappy Orlando Magic, who are better than their record would suggest. Aaron Gordon had 25 points in this game. Jamal Murray had 18. And Keith, the go-ahead 3 was set up by just, I imagine, a boneheaded play. Like, I think it was just a mistake. I think that Jamal Murray thought they had a foul to give. They weren't ready. They wanted to get the defense set up. Yeah. So the Nuggets are up 1 and are defending the ball. Jamal Murray intentionally fouls Markelle Fultz and sends him to the line with a chance to take the lead. Now, Fultz goes 1 of 2. At the free throw line. So they luck out there. They have a tie game. And then, you know, when you get Jokic in these clutch situations, you know he's touching the basketball. defensive attention all over him. He hits one of these rainbow, you know, I would have called it a Larry Bird sort of three, the over-the-head three that he shoots, but now it's a Jokic three. But it never should have gotten to that point because Jamal Murray just makes a real boneheaded play there.
I mean, isn't you're the European basketball expert. Isn't this the style? Isn't this
you don't
vogue
foul up
over
one.
There?
You don't foul up
just
one.
Up away, but you want the ball back. You want to get the ball back. You want to make sure you have the ball for the final possession. I don't know. Maybe Murray just had a lot of faith in Jokic. What's funny about this Jokic three-pointer, and it might be used on the highlight clips, or it might be like an indelible moment that people say, hey, this is, you know, three straight MVPs. Look at this, what this guy does. Triple doubles and the stats are incredible. And his plus minus every single game. He's the best in the NBA at this. And you look at the game winner. But like this was, I'm going to say it. This was a bad game for Nikola Jokic. It's not a bad game for an NBA player. I mean, it was awesome. But for Jokic, this was not a good game. He missed the previous game with a sore wrist. He never takes games off, essentially. And I don't think he was totally right. He only attempted one field goal in the fourth quarter. It was this game-winning, rainbow three that swished in. I mean, also, there were storylines here for the Magic. You had the Bol Bol revenge game, who started his NBA career with the Nuggets, got traded from the Aaron Gordon trade. Bol Bol, like, put Jokic on skates, dunked on him.
Put him on
finished,
a poster.
Yeah. He finished with, I believe, 17 points. But still, it came down to the Magic not having quite enough. I mean, you know, maybe Murray's thinking Markel Fultz not that great of a foul shooter. He's doing the math. He's like, my guy makes 70% of his mid-rangers. I'm going with that. That's 1.4 points. This guy makes only 66% of his free throws. We got a point lead. I like that math, Dave. You think I'm
no,
wrong?
We're not giving him credit for that. All right. That's going to do it for today's show, folks. Thank you guys for listening. For Keith Parrish, I'm Dave DeFore. Keith, get out of here.
Ding, ding.